Hey, before we get started, if you are ready to pass your exams and become a licensed architect, you're going to want to listen to this. We are revolutionizing architectural education. It is my goal and mission to help as many people as possible become licensed architects while still maintaining their happiness. So introducing The Architecture of Play. This is our secret podcast series that will transform the way you study and prep for your ARE. Imagine having a happy work-life balance while also pursuing your dream of becoming a licensed architect. I promise you, it is possible. Our 7-episode private podcast gives you exclusive access to the secrets that can make this dream a reality. Remember, the more fun you have, the more likely you are to pass your exams and become a licensed architect. Start listening today at dci.beyoungdesign.com/secret podcast. Don't miss out. This is going to transform your exam prep and help you enjoy the process of becoming a licensed architect. All right, enjoy the episode. Have you ever dreamed about starting your own architecture firm? For most aspiring architects, this is the goal. And so today I have on the show with me Katerina Baranova, and she just started her architecture firm about a year ago. And we are going over all of the things about starting a business, what the biggest learning lesson has been, what the do's and don'ts are, the struggles, the things to, you know, think about when you're wanting to do it. So if you are an aspiring architect or an architect and you want to start your own architecture studio, this is the episode for you. Let's get started. So today's guest is Katerina Baranova. She is the principal and architect of Katerina Baranova Architecture, Inc. She works out of Laguna Beach, and she specializes in high-end custom residential architecture. So Katerina is going to tell you all about her background and her introduction into architecture. She's out of Laguna Beach, and when she isn't practicing architecture or running her own business, she loves yoga, she loves to hang out at the beach, and she loves to travel. I'm going to keep this short so we can get into it. All right, enjoy. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Design, Create, Inspire. I'm so excited to be here today with Katerina Baranova. And we already talked about it. I know this is not the total correct way to pronounce her last name, so she's going to give it to you. She's originally from the Czech Republic, then grew up in a couple different states. And we connected through good old social media. She is a licensed architect and also a podcast host. I was like, what do you call those again? Podcast host from the Honeycomb. Podcast host from the Honeycomb podcast. And it's great architecture, all things architecture and women in architecture. And it's a great podcast. I've been on there too, so I can link up that episode. And I've been wanting to have her come on for a long time now because she recently embarked on starting her own architecture studio. And I know that that comes with all sorts of learning lessons and ups and downs, and it's just a crazy time. And I know that she'll be able to provide some insight to everyone. So welcome to the show, Katerina.
Thank you so much for having me, Bryn. I'm super excited to come on your podcast. And yeah, as you mentioned, I just recently started my own business, but I'll kind of backtrack a little bit just to kind of give how I became an architect and just a little backstory on me. So as you mentioned, yes, I'm originally from the Czech Republic. I was born in Prague. And when I was about 5 years old, we moved to the United States. And I've lived in Colorado, New Hampshire, until we finally settled in 2002 in Southern California. And I lived here in Southern California until I went to college in Chicago. So I went to Illinois Tech, which was amazing. Being in Chicago, surrounded by incredible architecture, was just the cherry on top to an architecture school experience. But as you know, the winters in the Midwest are very cold. So after 2 years after college, I decided it's time to move back home. And I ended up moving back to Orange County and working in Laguna Beach. And I worked at a pretty predominant firm in Laguna Beach for the last 5.5 years. And during those 5.5 years, I got my license here in California, which I actually found you, yes, on Instagram, but I also found you when I was looking for content for the California exam. And so that's kind of at the beginning of where our paths kind of crossed. And so that was almost exactly a year ago. In 2 weeks, it'll be a year since I passed the California exam. And it's been a year For sure. So I passed my California exam in October and kind of just left all of 2022 to just celebrate, relax, end of NCARB, end of California exams. And it wasn't until February of this year of 2023 that I incorporated to start my own firm. This was kind of a conversation I'd been having already with my husband early on. You know, once I get licensed, the next step for me is to start my own company. And it's been a dream of mine since I started architecture to have my own firm. I've wanted to be an architect since I was about 10, 11, 12-ish, sometime around that is when like the seed was planted. So in February 6th, it became a reality and I incorporated to have my own firm, Caterina Baranova Architecture Inc. I wanted to incorporate first, and the main reason I incorporated was really for the protection of having a corporation. And I know if anyone's studying for the ARE exams, you know we have to learn about S Corp, C Corp, LLC, sole proprietorship. So having studied for the exams, I kind of already knew what business structure I wanted to do, which was a corporation. In California, we can't have an LLC, sole proprietor. I was a little nervous because I also work in high-end residential. Sometimes it's multi-million dollar projects, and those clients are big fish. I'm a little fish. So I decided to incorporate. Now, incorporating requires a lot of money up front. The fees that it took were a little bit surprising. Of course, you have the incorporation fees, then there's like an $800 fee you have to pay for the IRS for some sort of tax purposes. Also, I am not a certified tax business coach in
We're
any
not
sense.
lawyers, we're not tax
No, we're not lawyers.
consultants.
Exactly. So, and if you have questions, of course, feel free to reach out. But this was just my experience. Also, it's very specific to California. They have their own restrict rules. But the reason I started in February was I'd already had conversations with my boss about starting my own company. It's something at my yearly reviews we always talked about. And the reason is also my boss is 82, or is 82 years old. So I always knew, I know, crazy. I
Architects
always
never retire.
They don't. They really don't. As amazing it was working for him, of course, I knew this isn't a place I was going to be for the next 10 years. So we always, right from when I started, I was very open about eventually I'd like to have my own firm. And then the conversation really came up in January. And that's when I said, okay, with your permission, because of course, you know, or I work in Laguna Beach, small town, I don't want it to come off as like now I'm your competition or anything like that. And I also think it's very valuable to not burn any bridges when you're starting your own company, and especially yeah, in such a small town. So with my boss's kind of blessing, I went to incorporate, so reached out to my accountant. I guess the backstory on that too is my husband incorporated last year of 2022. He's a general contractor. So I went to some of his meetings early on, knowing what questions to ask because I kind of saw him incorporate. So when it happened in February, I knew who, you know, what checks needed to be written, what paperwork needed to be signed, the applications, all of that. So for me, it happened fairly quickly. I think it was in within 3 weeks of from my initial meeting to when I got the paperwork done, I was incorporated. And that was like, wow, that's amazing. That was an incredible feeling. And my logo that I made is actually about 10 years old. So the logo was easy to make. I made it during one of like portfolio making classes
That's when I
in
made my logo too. It's still the same.
And it sticks, and I'm like, I love it, and I've always loved it, and I'm like, this is it. So logo came very easy, website came fairly easy, and yeah, the incorporation part came fairly easy to me. And so by March, I was like, okay, what's the next step? And since I wasn't rushing because I was still working full time, I kind of was like, okay, what are the other things I need to do? Okay, set up a business account, of course. So went to Wells Fargo. They ended up having a really good deal for small businesses. Ended up going to Wells Fargo, setting up a bank account, getting all that. I mean, that within and of itself took 2, 3 weeks. You know, it's a slow process. So that was kind of my March big to-do list. April, I kind of was like, well, maybe now I can see if I can get some side work and see what's going to happen. Started kind of getting some leads, but wasn't fully invested in it because, of course, I was still working full time. It wasn't until May, actually, like May 16th, May 17th, I actually was told by my boss I was being let go and got 2 weeks' notice. Which was a little bit of a shock because we had talked about me leaving in the fall, but my projects at the firm had already kind of ended. It was kind of a natural transition in a way. It was unexpected, but expected as well. And so by June 1st, I was fully on my own and have been since then.
Well, and what a blessing that getting let go and only having 2 weeks is a shock, but what a blessing that you had already been working on all the gear up so that it almost like kicked you into action quicker than you probably would have otherwise.
No, absolutely. And like the first day, June 1st, I actually had a meeting with potential clients to show them a proposal. The project didn't end up going anywhere, unfortunately, but it was already like I hit the ground running, which it's so true. It was such a blessing to have done all this work. And it's definitely not an overnight thing. I mean, we're sitting here now in October, and everything kind of took a while. And that's something I've been noticing too, is it's patience. Things don't happen overnight, especially when you have your own business.
Hey, before we get started, if you are ready to pass your exams and become a licensed architect, you're going to want to listen to this. We are revolutionizing architectural education. It is my goal and mission to help as many people as possible become licensed architects while still maintaining their happiness. So introducing The Architecture of Play. This is our secret podcast series that will transform the way you study and prep for your ARE. Imagine having a happy work-life balance while also pursuing your dream of becoming a licensed architect. I promise you, it is possible. Our 7-episode private podcast gives you exclusive access to the secrets that can make this dream a reality. Remember, the more fun you have, the more likely you are to pass your exams and become a licensed architect. Start listening today at dci.beyoungdesign.com/secret podcast. Don't miss out. This is going to transform your exam prep and help you enjoy the process of becoming a licensed architect. All right, back to the episode. It's a lot of patience. And there's like a cycle I go through, or I did, especially the first few years of, because the income wasn't that much. So I'd go through the cycle of like, okay, should I go work for somebody? No, because then I'll have to be working more and I'm building their business. Like it's worth it. But I had to be very lean in the first while. I mean, they're still having to look through the budgeting and make sure that I know you mentioned the other day on your stories on Instagram about making sure that you are getting the right software, but you're budgeting that into the thing. It's like all these things that now you have to think about that you don't necessarily think about before, and even the incorporation. So that has always been something that's intimidated me. I know all the liabilities and stuff, and I still am not incorporated, which I have on my to-do list. I'm going to reach out to you and have you kick me into gear, because I know I need to. But there's a lot of ducks in the row that you kind of have to get. But I do want to say too that, you know, like I admire that you did it very like right before going off. And I will say too, there, you can do it a little messy if like you just, you know, get a business license, do it really cheap and start. So I always recommend the professional liability insurance no matter what, because say you do get sued, at least you have insurance. But so there's a lot of different ways to go about business. But I will say that I agree that expecting that, okay, I have a business, I've got a logo, I've got a thing, now all of a sudden the clients all come in. That's a whole other part of learning business, of discovering red flags, working with clients who you probably wouldn't choose to work with in the future. But a lot of that's learning lessons. Like now I understand a lot of the red flags that I look out for now, and also valuing myself and my business and like how to charge. And so a lot of it, I think it's important for people to realize that the learning lessons are good because each time you get better, but it is to be expected to get like dream projects with a really high fee and all these things right out the bat isn't always possible. Maybe not totally, you know, unheard of, but it is a lot harder. So now that you have been, say, 6 months or so, what's your main method for finding clients or marketing? Any tips for someone who's just starting out and they're like, okay, now I have all the things, but now I don't know what's the next step of how do I even find people?
That's a great question. And that's a question I get from even family members. I was talking to my sister. She's like, how do these people find you? Because it's not exactly like you don't think about it when you're working for someone, like, oh, how did this project that I'm now assigned to even get through the door? So I've had projects come through multiple ways. My first two little projects, also one thing I want to say is, like you mentioned, you won't get your dream project. You're going to be humbled. very quick on the first few weeks, first few months of having your own company. And my first two projects were deck repairs, and they just needed to go through the city. One was on the coast, so we went through the California Coastal Commission. So it was more of just admin work, but it was a good way for me to dip my toes into how am I going to format my drawings, my proposals, all of that. Those projects I got from a contractor, and this contractor is actually works for, so my husband's a general contractor, my father-in-law's a general contractor, and this general contractor has been working with them for years. So when I mentioned that I had my own firm, I started letting everybody know. And I think I actually took this advice from you, Brent, and you have been incredible the last few months for me. Like, I always DM you with like these questions. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to ask Brent, like, what does she think of this? Or like, because you've just been like my inspiration. And then also, like, just I think now that I've gotten to know you more, you have a similar mindset business-wise. So I really appreciate any of your like insight or input into how would you go about a certain situation. So you're
Thank
welcome. Yes.
you.
But one of the things I remember reading on your blog was tell everybody and anybody that you have a firm. So that is definitely something I did right away. So of course, my father-in-law knew that now I have my own firm. He mentioned it to this general contractor, and this general contractor reached out to me about one deck repair. Then obviously we had never worked together, but first few meetings went very well. He signed me up for another deck remodel project. He's like, hey, let's meet with this client. So very small projects. I also was very fortunate to, which I never thought would happen, but my podcast has gotten me work, which is mind-blowing. When I
Yeah, it's
started,
amazing.
it's crazy. So from the Honeycomb podcast, it's 2 years old now. When I started it, I had no idea that it would actually bring me business. People always ask, how many downloads do you get, or do you get money from your podcast? I don't make money from my podcast, but it has given me jobs. So now I guess in a way it does make me money. But one thing I was able to get is actually work for do a drafts work, drafts person, like be a drafts person for a person on the other side of the country. And that I got through actually Ben Norkin, who was on my podcast. He mentioned, oh, I know someone who's looking for a CAD person. Would you be interested? Because I had, just as his episode had aired, I had mentioned that I had been let go and I was starting, I was fully on my own. So he kind of mentioned and he, made the introduction. And so that's another thing is about just at the beginning, it might be hard to say yes to everything, but you're going to be humbled and you got to say yes to everything. You may think a deck repair is below you because you were working on multi-million dollar projects at your previous firm, but you have to start from somewhere. And also saying yes to as much as possible. So yes, I said yes to the drafts work because I'm like, at least this will cover my expenses for the month. And doing that drafts work covered my first 3 months' expenses for the first 3 months. And I was like, oh, okay. So that was really, so got it through the podcast, through another general contractor. One project I have working on, it's an international project. It's just design because obviously I'm not licensed in Canada, which is where the project is. So it's just a design project, but it has to do with Vastu Shastra, which is ancient Vedic science from India. It's similar to feng shui, but a little bit older. And I had been on another podcast for just to talk about like spirituality. And I've mentioned Vastu Shastra and that I'm an architect. And one of the listeners of that podcast reached out to me. And
No
that's
way.
how I got that project. Yes.
That's
So
amazing. I actually just had someone who is in a totally different realm. She helps business women with their cycles, so like their menstrual cycles and how to leverage the energy of that for business. And she's like, "You should come on my podcast sometime." I'm like, "Yeah, but it's like your people are probably not necessarily mine." She's like, "You never know." And I'm like, "That's true. Like there could be someone who's listening who, needs an architect." And I will say too that the podcast, I started mine not necessarily like just kind of for fun. And I'm the same way. I don't get crazy downloads each week or month. I actually don't really track it very much. I kind of just like have fun with it. And I also don't advertise on it except for like my own products. So I don't make money technically on my podcast, but I transfer it over to blogs and stuff for my website. And the SEO is insane. And so the leads that I'm getting now, because of the awareness online, because you Google a question like a homeowner, what should I ask an architect? And now the podcast or blog is coming up. So I think it's such a great way to, if you are starting a business, marketing is huge, but you don't have to be like some marketing guru, or you don't have to hire a PR firm or all that. Just either start writing what you know, if you like to write, or if you have a podcast, or even just start an Instagram with pretty photos. shows. I mean, there's so many ways to market these days and become then the authority in the space because there's so many architects. But if someone's looking online, which everyone does these days, and you pop up, then you're the one that they're going to come and ask questions. So that and networking too, like you're saying, like tell anyone and everyone. And I think at first it can feel a little, I personally dealt with like imposter syndrome where I'm like, well, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed to tell people or like, who am I to be this architect or whatever. I had to work through all that. And now it's just, you know, talking to everybody and it's, you never know who, oh, so and so needs something. And then the other thing I want to pinpoint about what you said too is like the deck remodel. Best advice I ever got was even if it's not a project you even want, take the call and then offer help, like offer suggestions or refer someone else. Because if you are helpful or you take on the small project or you again become that like authority person, then if they have another big project coming up or their neighbor is doing a remodel, they're like, oh, I know an architect. And then they reach out. So I have had that personally. My very first project that was literally just like paint finishes and converting a little bit of a closet into a master bathroom closet, like the tiniest thing ever. I get calls from her almost yearly, and I've done now like three different projects for her. So you just never know where it will lead in the future.
No, that's a very good point. And another thing is too, is now that one client that's a deck repair, I can use them as a reference for having with me under my own company, and that's been huge. The one of the deck repairs, she the client has been incredible. She's been talking to potential clients of mine. She's been a huge just like gift because yes, I just did a small deck repair and it's the tiniest project. It's not going to go in my portfolio, which I also want to talk about how to build your portfolio if you're just starting out. But she is someone who has called or has taken calls from potential clients being like, yes, I've worked with Katarina. She's great to work with. And that's been huge because how else would I have had a referral had I not taken her? So that was huge. One other thing I wanted to mention about how I got a project is a referral from you. So
Exactly. The connections.
it's connections, it's referrals, and it's amazing. It's not just architects. I've also gotten referred from structural engineers, from general contractors. So you just never know. So just letting everybody know that you have your own firm. I know you touched base on the imposter syndrome, and that's something also like I've also kind of struggled with, especially on client meetings, because I can sell it. I can be like, hire me, this is great. But then when the question comes up, well, do you have a portfolio? And that's when I'm like, oh, I don't though. Like, I can show you a deck detail that I did, but that's the extent of it. And so, one thing that I've been learning to do is create a portfolio of mine. So, first out of the gate was just a portfolio of the work I've worked on at my previous job. Of course, I got approval from my boss to be able to use the work, took out the names of the clients, took out the logo, but made sure it presented that this is work I did under this project, had a few photos in there, anything I could get to show them, look, I have experience, I can do a construction document set. Then the issue comes up of, well, what about your design? Like, this isn't your design, this is your boss's design. So right now, I'm actually making up my own project. My husband's my client, and I'm designing an ADU for him. Although it has
Perfect.
to be, yeah, it has to be in my style. I told him it has to be, I really like Spanish colonial. So I said, you're getting a Spanish colonial ADU. It's going to be one bedroom, and I'm going to design it for you, but I need you to kind of tell me, like, you know, give me a few things that clients bring up that you're just like, well, this is, you know, some constraints and things so I can kind of challenge myself. So I'm using that as a portfolio piece. So it's kind of, I mean, obviously, I'm also not, you know, slammed with work, working 40, 50 hours a week. So this is a fun, creative thing for me to do, as well as it's going to help me be able to put something on my website.
Yeah, I think that's huge. And even bringing back school projects and even like having, if there's certain projects that you really like and you want to highlight, I know in school we don't do a ton of single family residential. So if that is your potential market, like it is ours, that is a little bit harder, but there's still ways that can showcase your eye for design in that. And then I will also say, even if, say, you have blog portion on your website and you have a series of like architecture that inspires you, and then you post photos and you give credit and everything to the other person, but then you explain maybe what works, what doesn't, but you do it in a style that you like and you want to design for. that also just shows people your eye for design. So there's ways to go about it, even if you don't necessarily have finished, photos and everything, that you can slowly start building that up.
No, yeah, no, that's definitely something as well. It's just constantly creating, and you have to be active. You can't be passive. You're not going to get handed that. It goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You're not going to get handed that dream project. You have to put yourself out there. And that's one thing I'm surprised about this whole entrepreneurship journey is I thought I'd enjoy going to social events and talking about my business and selling myself is my least favorite part. Like I, at this point, I may, it's fun, but it's tiring. I'm not a salesperson, so that's been hard. But one other thing to get your name out there is join local business clubs. So I've gone to the Laguna Beach Small Business Club brunch. They have a brunch every month, and there I connected with an interior designer. I also go to, I'm an affiliate of a realtor board here locally, and every week they have a meeting, and it's just realtors. And realtors, I've already had few referrals. Actually, I had a meeting with a client. Didn't end up going anywhere, but a realtor came up to me, says, "Hey, I have a client. They want to buy a property here, and they want to convert the upstairs part of the garage to an ADU. Do you mind coming out, looking at the site, kind of giving us an idea? Maybe this will go somewhere." And so there's another lead. So also realtors, because you think about when does a homeowner first approach a property or have the project? Well, if they're buying a new property, maybe they want to remodel, they're in contact with a realtor. So how many realtors know how many architects? Well, if you're an architect that most realtors know, which at this realtor meeting yesterday, I gave out my business card to two or three more realtors and we talk. And then they say, "Well, if you have a client who's selling a house, so you kind of build this relationship." And then people just know you and they start to think about you, or they're like, "Oh yeah, I do know an architect." But another thing, which is also hard for me to do, is kind of a follow-up, like check-in, like, "Hey, we
I'm
met."
not good at that either.
It's so awkward to be like, "Hey, remember me? Do you have work for me?" And there's a local architect here I've been working with, and he's kind of like a mentor to me now. And he's always like, "You have to check in with me." He's like, "Sometimes I forget, like, if you need something." And that kind of made me remember, like, everyone, especially small business owners or small architecture firms, you can very easily get focused on yourself. So you kind of forget that, oh, maybe there is that other architect that, oh, maybe I should give him work. So don't forget that you have, again, it's that putting yourself out there, being active rather than passive.
Yeah, and that goes back to, if you don't want the project, but you're getting back to them, then you refer. And so I think the real estate agents, I get calls all the time from, I have a couple that I'm like their go-to, and I just answer questions. And sometimes it leads to stuff, but it's just helpful to be able to be the go-to. Again, it's like being that authority in your area where people, oh, I know someone who I can ask these questions to. And then contractors, like you said too, contractors are great. 'Cause for some reason, people always go to the contractors first when they want to start a project, probably because they can maybe give a rough idea on price generally, sometimes very roughly. So maybe that's why people start there. So contractors, real estate agents, and then other architects. So especially, bigger architects, getting to know them. I was part of the La Jolla Historical Society Board of Directors. And that was a great way to meet other people in the architecture world, other architects, real estate agents, even historical preservationists, and just learn about all that kind of stuff. But what I realized, and now I'm in this position where I can't take all the projects that come my way. And then I'm also very selective these days because of the capacity I have of the projects I can take on. So I would say like 50%, if not more, projects or inquiries that come in, I can't take them on. And so I'm always referring them out. So if I create connections like with happened with you, someone came in, I didn't just ignore them. I met with them, even though I knew it probably wouldn't work because they were closer to LA. But then I'm like, well, I do know someone closer there. So even here, there's this one architect who's in La Jolla, and we're constantly back and forth like, hey, would you want this project? So connecting, I think it's a big one where sometimes people can look at other architects who are doing what they want to do as like competition, but look at it more as collaboration because no one can possibly take on every project. So even if it is their dream project too, maybe they're just not at capacity and then they can pass it on to you. But I agree, getting involved with the AIA really was big for me. I get a lot of leads from the AIA, but I agree. I have to be selective with the events that I attend just because I can get really burned out very quickly. So I'm a little more selective.
No, definitely. Yeah, that's what I've learned this past month is can't go to all the events, can't do everything. And because, yeah, it does. And then also while you're at the events, no one's at the office working. So
Right.
that was the hardest lesson. I'm like, wow, I'm not really getting billable time. Oh, that's right. I'm at all these social events. I don't have anybody working. You have to learn kind of to balance when to put yourself out there and then when to work on stuff. But you also brought, when you talk about collaboration, I think that's one of the things that's also surprised me most during entrepreneurship is when you're working by yourself, you think you're alone because it's just you. But the last few months, I have felt less alone as far as my career with how many people have reached out with advice or referrals or, hey, you know, this is what I did, or the amount of help that's come through. It kind of reminded me a little bit about going through the AREs. You know, you're like, oh, what did you study, or what programs, or what, you know, mentorship did you use, program did you use? So it's kind of similar in that sense. And it's been really nice to see, because I also thought, I'm like, oh, now everyone's going to be like competition. Like, how does that work? But it's incredible how collaborative and how helpful everybody is. It's been really eye-opening, and yeah, it's just been a really positive. What I mean, I'm shocked at how much like positivity has come out of it.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think it's good for people to, yeah, I think it's a can maybe scare some people as they're like, well, no, I kind of just want to go and like put my head down, but design how I want, when I want, where I want. But it's not that easy. It does take a lot of putting yourself out there. You know, if you do want to just like go in, put your head down, like you're saying, working in a for someone else, you do. You can clock in and clock out. You can get in there. You're not maybe not having the creative freedom, but there's kind of the, what do you call it? Like the trade-off. Essentially, like you do get some creative freedom within reason. You still have the clients, you know, but it's just different. Like for me, I would say I don't necessarily work like 9 to 5. I work here and there. I should probably track it, but you know, it's great because I can take off at 12:30, go pick up my daughter, and then she naps, and then I work, and then I go pick up my other daughter, you know, so it's tough right now with little kids because it's not so consistent. So getting in that flow state. However, it's great that I have that flexibility so I can do that. So there's just trade-offs and pros and cons to all of it. So I would say I think I want to go two things. One is maybe the biggest learning lesson you've had so far in starting your business. And then also what would be like your number one tip for someone who is maybe still working. They haven't taken any action towards the starting a business yet, but maybe they're just finishing their exams and want to
First
do
question about what's the
that.
biggest lesson? Gosh, the biggest lesson I have learned is, I think, kind of going back to, I think one thing I've learned about myself is I don't like putting myself out there. That was one lesson I learned. Overall, the biggest is, gosh, that's a tough one. Because I'm trying to think, because now that I wear so many hats, I've learned so many lessons in like the business department, the marketing department, the architecture department. There's so much I've learned. But overall, the lesson I think is, it's having your own company is a roller coaster of emotion within even a day. Like, I will be crying about something at 8 a.m. and then be like on top of the world because I got a lead at 10 a.m. So I guess that's one of the biggest lessons is it's a roller coaster. It's just there's high highs, low lows while you have your business, and those fluctuate daily. And I think finding that moment to just center yourself, yeah, I think that would be the biggest lesson is I used to freak, like you'd freak out about something, you know, at work, and you're like, okay, but then the boss would take care of it. And I think now the biggest lesson I've learned is I'm in charge. It's okay. Whatever moment just happened, whatever just came up, whether it was, you know, I didn't get a job or I kind of messed up on something when I was talking to a contractor, I should, you know, whatever it was. I think at the end of the day, I feel like I'm going on a tangent now, but
No,
like,
I like that, the roller coaster, because
it's
I
like,
think
yeah, the
that
roller
even,
coaster.
yeah, because I think that even goes into the state of business in architecture, that is even cyclical and a roller coaster. So there's sometimes where the building industry will be super high and there will be a ton of work, and then sometimes it will dip and there will be no work. And that was something I had to get really comfortable with, because if you aren't, then when you hit that low, you'll either go find somewhere else to work. But if you just ride it out a little bit, the work always comes back. And so within the day and the emotions of the roller coaster, also the cycle of just the building industry. And so remembering that and staying grounded in it is so important.
That's exactly what I wanted to. Yeah. See, we think very
Yes.
similarly. Yeah. So, but it is like just remembering it's going to get better. You're going down, but it'll come back up. I think that's like the biggest lesson I've learned as well. 'Cause yeah, there's definitely moments and there's the big picture, you know, what is the building industry going to look like in 5 years? And am I going to have projects in 5 years? And then what is my work schedule going to look like tomorrow or, you know, next week? So that's definitely just, those are the biggest lessons. And then if there's someone out there right now who's, you know, taking the exams and they're like, okay, I'm thinking about it, I would definitely write down what your 1 year plan is, 3 year and 5 year. Kind of get an idea of, okay, I want to start my own company. Maybe you're already working for someone and you haven't had that conversation with them either. So is it in your 1 year plan you're going to start having that conversation? Because for me, I think honesty and transparency, if you're honest with whoever you're working with, like, hey, you know, and it may back, I it depends on the personalities, of course, but my advice would be is start having that conversation with your boss if you think that's a comfortable position to be in and you can trust your boss. Because I think also, you know, let's say you're in the midst of three projects and you're deep into it, you can't step away from those because that's going back to what I mentioned about burning bridges. And you can't use, like, I use past clients from my old work as referrals of, hey, at least you can say you worked with me, and letting them know, you know, because I performed well and I didn't just leave in the middle and just, you know, just let them be like, fend for yourself. I think having that conversation, looking at it at a 1 year, 3 year, 5 year would be my recommendation, and look at what do you need to accomplish in this next year to be able to move forward towards having your own business. So it means having conversations. Having a conversation with your partner or your spouse is huge. I would not be able to be doing what I am right now without the support of my husband from a emotional, mental, financial, especially financial standpoint, because it's a shift of when you go from getting that paycheck every 2 weeks to who knows when you're going to get paid. So that's also a shift. So looking at it from 1 year, you know, what are the conversations you need to have? You know, don't go out there and incorporate tomorrow without having these conversations, especially. Don't, you know, and then start doing your research on who do you need to talk to, depending on what your state requirements are. Maybe you do just want to do an LLC. And that also goes to hiring out people. I think it's very important. Get an accountant, get a IT person, because that's the one that I had an email issue this past week, and thankfully I have an IT guy who just took care of it. And so have people who you can ask questions to. I don't have a lawyer because I use the AIA contracts, but I modified them to my own liking and to my own specifications and requirements that I do. But have that kind of exterior team as well. So within that first year, look at that, you know, maybe hire some of them. 3 years, what does that look like? Are you already starting to transition from your own firm? Some of the other architects I've been talking to about, you know, how did they transition from having, you know, working for someone to having their own firm? They did a lot of side work. And is that something you can take on while you're working for your boss? You know, there's so really like look at it in, yeah, the 1 year, 3 year, and 5 year steps.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And also, there's something about writing down where you want to be in 1 year, 3 year, and 5 year that helps you make it happen. So it's not just it's like a manifestation strategy and a goal strategy so that you have a vision of where you need to be or where you want to be. So what you need to do in order to get there. So I think that is amazing. Well, I know this is going to be so valuable for everyone who is wanting to start a business. I think most architects go into their licensing process with the goal of running their own firm. So with that, there's lots of questions and how do you even make that happen? So I know this will be very valuable. And definitely anybody reach out to Katarina if you have questions. She's in it. You can reach out to me too. So where is the best place for people to find you?
Probably on Instagram. I'm pretty active on there at From the Honeycomb Podcast. You can DM me. I'm very responsive there. That's probably the best place to reach me.
Perfect. Yeah. And I'll put all the links down below. And do you want to just give a little blurb about your Vastu Shastra? You have to pronounce it for me.
Vastu-Shastra consultation. Oh, of
Gotcha.
course.
Yes. Yes.
So Vastu-Shastra, as I mentioned earlier, it's ancient Vedic science. And what it was is I can look at the floor plan of your home and kind of help balance the energies of your home. So if you're feeling like you moved into a space and you're feeling depressed or anxious, or you're looking to gain abundance and prosperity, I can look at the floor plan of your home and use Vastu-Shastra principles. It's not, we're not demoing your whole house or moving moving walls, but there's ways we can look at your home to help bring in these positive energies, whether it's, relocating some furniture, adding color. Of course, there's the project in Canada where I'm designing the house from the ground up with Vastu Shastra principles. So where the rooms are laid out, where the doors, exterior doors are, window openings, all have to do with the energies of the home and to bring in that positivity. So that's something I also offer, which that's on my website, which my website is kbarchitectinc.com. And you can just look on the Vastu tab.
Okay, perfect. And I'll find a link and I can put it in too, because I think that is
Okay.
so awesome. I love, and I used to have a deeper dive into feng shui, and I really love the idea that everything flows in a way that is harmonious and the energy flows. Because you sometimes you walk into a space and it's just like something's off, but you can't really explain what it is. So I think that's really valuable. So, and you just do consultations on people's existing houses and stuff, right?
I can do existing homes. If you're planning on remodeling, I can look at how to add a remodel or an addition and make sure it doesn't, mess up the flow of the energy of your house. And then I also do from the ground up, just straight up design. So multiple options.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Very exciting. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And everyone reach out, let her know what your biggest takeaway was, and go follow her on Instagram, the podcast, all the good stuff. All
Okay.
right.
Thank you, Brynn.
Bye. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining me today. It has been a while since I've recorded. I took an accidental 4-month hiatus from new recordings for the podcast. So it feels really good to be back. And I'm looking forward to continuing my weekly videos. So thank you for being here. Please go say thank you to Katarina for being here and what your biggest takeaway was. And make sure, if you don't already, to like and subscribe. And also over on the podcast, if you can give us a little 5-star review, that would be a huge help. It definitely helps the podcast get more awareness, and that would be wonderful. And in the meantime, before next week's episode, go ahead and watch this episode next if you are on YouTube, and have a beautiful day.